Been going through a series as we look at the Gospel of John and where Jesus shares, I am. We're on our sixth one today, and there'll be a little bit of a break here, and hopefully you'll come and hear Becky share the next 2 weeks, but we'll have two more. There is one more traditional I am based on the predicate noun. Now, the commentary I used was, it said, predicated nominative or something. So I went, what in the world is that? And I looked it up. Oh, predicate noun. But even then, that's a long time ago. We learned those in grammar class. But basically, it's the noun telling what the verb is all about. I am what? And Jesus has been sharing with us these nouns as we've been going through that these last 5 weeks. And today on the sixth one, we'll have one more of those predicate noun I am, so that takes care of the seven traditionals. And then I want to finish up with a non-traditional one. It's not a predicate noun version, but still a Jesus where he shares I am. In our scripture today, the context is we find ourselves in the night before Jesus was to be crucified, and he is sharing in the Lord's Supper. We don't see that account in the Gospel of John. We see that in the other Gospels. But we do know that one thing that John shares is the washing of the disciples' feet. Several of the Gospels, Jesus talks about the betrayal that Judas is going to do. And we also learn of Peter's denial before dawn. Of course, Peter says that would never happen, and we know it does. But it's right in the middle of all of that that we pick up with our scripture today. There is no time change from the end of chapter 13 into the first verse of chapter 14. It just moves in. He's talking with Peter, and then moves right into our scripture today. So if you're able, would you please stand as we read God's word? Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The word of God for the people of God. Now, probably more than we wanted to, or in maybe some cases needed to, but Sherry and I have been acquainted with U-Haul these last few years as we've made a few moves, and then just in the last couple of months, I used U-Haul and some laborers to move my parents from North Vernon to Greensburg, and here this past Friday, we used them to move from Loveland, Ohio, here to New Point, Indiana, back in, home to Indiana. And we actually used them to pull a trailer behind Sherry's SUV. And we actually took two loads to storage. And what I learned when I did the trailer, before it was always been a one-way for U-Haul, where I picked up the truck close to where you're loading, and then you would take it back to a dealer that was close to wherever you ended up moving to. And okay, that's not a bad deal, and it's always been that way. What I learned was that with the trailer, it said you can save a bunch of money if you return it back to the place that you picked it up from. And like a third or two-thirds off. Oh, okay. So it's okay if you're just renting and you just need it for a few days and bring it. So I got 3 days of use out of it, a long weekend, and for the price of one day, if I were to take it, drive it somewhere, and leave it somewhere else. It was interesting. And I only bring that up because there's a difference between just running around town or running and doing things and figuring out there's a one-way trip. U-Haul says there's a difference. And Jesus says there's a difference. There's a one-way trip for each of us to make. And Jesus says, I'm the way to take that one-way trip. I'm the way. And he not only is talking about on the way to heaven, that our scripture, he's saying he's preparing for us. He's going on ahead of us and has gone on ahead of us and is preparing those rooms. The old King James says preparing mansions, but he's preparing a place for us so that we can join him. And it's a one-way trip, and it is Jesus who says he's the way. He said, no one's going to go that way except through me. But even more so, as we think of this way, it is more than just the trip to heaven. It is the way that we live our lives here on earth before we are called home for that one-way trip. You know, the early Christians, as they were gathering and as they were gathering as a church and becoming the church, the early Christians were called the Way. And we see that in some places in Scripture, but we also see it in historical documents as well, that they were referred to as the Way. And it's, you know, some of that came from what Jesus shares here, but it's a way of life. And it's not just about the final destination. It's about the path that we follow as we go towards that final destination. The Way, that terminology for Jesus' audience, was rooted in Jewish wisdom tradition. The way the wise who live by those teachings. And so Jesus is who we walk with along our way on earth. He is the way to heaven, but he's also the way that we live right here on earth as we have him walk alongside of us and share what God's will is for us, what God's desire is for us. You know, in a sense that we find later here in the chapter, he sends the Holy Spirit to show us that path and to nudge us into the right spot and to guide us and help us with the decisions that we need to make. And so we have this one way to live, whether it be here on earth or the final destination, and that's to learn the will and the desire of God for our lives. And Jesus says, I am the way. Thomas said, well, I'm not sure I know the way. And Jesus said, just follow me. Look to me. I am the way. Jesus also says that I am the truth. Some of you will remember, I think back in the 80s is when this came out, but the movie Oh God, George Burns played God and John Denver played a grocery store manager who God chose to sort of speak for him. But there's one particular scene that I really like in that particular movie. There's a couple of cute little places, but this particular one, Jerry is being sued and he's in court. He's been sued by a TV evangelist for a defamation of character and other things and slander. And so Jerry, John, the character, stands up and calls God to this witness stand. And everybody's like, ooh, what's going on? Then all of a sudden you hear little squeaky shoes walking through the courtroom. The doors open and little squeaky shoes go up and they make their way up to the witness stand. Then God appears, little George Burns. And the bailiff didn't know what to do, so he brought the Bible over and said, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And God answered, so help me. And the judge says, so help you. And God looked over the judge and if it pleases the court, and even if it doesn't please the court, I'm God, Your Honor. Now, that's a little humorous way, but it speaks volumes. God is God whether we want to believe it or not, whether it pleases us or not. And God is always truthful with us. That's why Jesus says, I am truth. God's word is truth. We find here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, as John shares about the word was with God and is God, and how the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus became a human being, and his life as a human is a witness to God's truth. He says, I am truth. And not only that, later in this chapter, he introduces the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who he says is the Spirit of truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit speak truth. Not only do they speak truth, they are truth. And that's what we see in Jesus saying, I am the truth. And if we follow the way, if we hear Jesus say, I am the way, and we follow him, then we also will meet the truth of God. And that is Jesus. I am the way, I am the truth. And we get that straight truth from him, because we don't necessarily get it from anywhere else, do we? We hear so many conflicting stories about all sorts of subjects all the time. Isn't it nice to know that we have a source of truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. And finally, Jesus says, I am light. I am the way, the truth, and life. A rich and satisfying full life. Any math buffs in here? But I remember one thing, and I don't know the terminology, but there is, in algebra, there was a way that it was a special kind of problem, and there's a name to the problem, and I should have done a little more research and looked it up. But it said, in algebra, you always had these variables, and you're solving for variables. So if x equals 1 and y equals 2, then x plus y equals 3, right? Because you just substitute the numbers, and that's how algebra works. But there's this one kind of formula that says x equals x plus 1. Now, how in the world does that ever get resolved? X equals x plus 1. But if I put the value of x in there and add 1, then it's no longer the value of x, but it's a recursive type of thing. It's like adding 1 to infinity. There is no end to infinity. That's why you have that sideways 8, that boop, boop, boop. It just means infinity, because there is no end. How do you add 1 to that? If there's never an end, you can't add 1. And I think of my good buddy Buzz Lightyear in Toy Story. Infinity and beyond, right? Well, wait a minute. Infinity is no end. How do you go beyond that? And yet when Jesus talks about a full life, about a rich and satisfying life, I believe that's what he's talking about. You can't compare the kind of life that Jesus says that he is when he says, I am life. We talked about in the bread, he said, I'm the bread of life. This is one of our earlier I ams. This life with Jesus is beyond what we can even imagine or think or calculate. This full life. Matthew chapter 11 speaks about Jesus' yoke being easy and his burden light. And he's there to find rest for our souls. Sometimes I think we do damage to ourselves instead of letting Jesus find that rest for our souls. He says, I am life. Take my yoke on. You'll find it easier. You'll find the burden light. You'll find rest in Jesus. When sharing about the gate in John chapter 10, when Jesus says, I am the gate, or I am the door, depending on your translation, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. As the shepherd is there in that chapter as well. It moves right on to the next verse. I am the good shepherd. But right then, before that, I am the gate. I am the door to the sheep pen, where all my sheep come. And he says, I am doing all of this. I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some English translations say, and have it abundantly. The NLT translation phrases it this way. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And if you haven't got the message, let me share the King James Version that I grew up on. Jesus says, I came to give them life and to give it to them more abundantly. In my mind, that's like adding 1 to infinity. Jesus wants us to have this rich and satisfying life, but only through him. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The way accesses God's promise of life, not only for eternity, not only for that final destination, but for right here and right now. Doesn't make all the circumstances go away, does it? But Jesus can help with our soul to soul and to have that fullness of life despite the circumstances, despite the sin that's there, despite the failed relationships that are there, despite all those things we said, boy, I wish I didn't have to deal with that. Jesus says, let me help you with that. I don't always make it go away. He has reasons that he doesn't always make all those circumstances go away. But he has a way of bringing life inside. God promises that for us here and perfectly in eternity through Jesus Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In our scripture today, as we finish up, Jesus says, you know, if you want to know the Father, let me tell you something. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he's telling his disciples, let me tell you something. You already know the Father. Because you know me. You can know and see the Father through Jesus Christ. The Father gives His Son. The Son gives Himself. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we can each know Him and see Him today.